NewsHour.com. I'm Rick Ganley. This is New Hampshire Public Radio News.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Early next month, Business NH Magazine will publish its annual list of New Hampshire's best companies to work for. And if the 2013 group is anything like the class of 2012, well, be prepared to get a little bit jealous. Last year's list included a Portsmouth firm that allows its employees to telecommute from home one day a week and whose office lounge includes an Xbox and a jukebox. A Conway consulting company that offered yoga on-site and free ice cream all summer. And a Hanover company with an on-site nurse, wellness center, and 6 weeks paid maternity leave. But while these benefits of fitness and fun and flexibility are great perks, what's most important, experts say, is that these employers also have a strong culture of employee engagement. That means workers feel part of something important and that their contributions are valued. And in 2013, 5 years after the recession, engagement is the buzzword in human resources, with research showing that while workers may enjoy perks like gym memberships or unlimited cappuccinos, freebies don't really make them happy. Instead, it's about genuine employee buy-in into the organization's goals and having people believe what they do is appreciated. Today in The Exchange, we conclude our series, How We Work 5 Years Later, with what used to be called employee satisfaction, now engagement. And let's hear from you. How do you define this in today's work environment? If you work at an amazing place, what does it do to keep you engaged? If you're feeling somewhat disengaged at work, what could help change that? Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Facebook is NHPR Exchange. Post a comment there or send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. We have two guests for the hour. Erica Cohen is here, associate editor for Business NH Magazine. As I said, they're about to come out with their 2013 Best Companies to Work For list. And Erica, welcome back. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Also with us, Malcolm Smith, extension professor in the Department of Education at UNH. He was also a member of a legislative task force on work and family and writes a column about this for New Hampshire Business Review. And Malcolm Smith, always nice to see you. Thank you also for being here.
It's good to see you, Laura. Thanks for having me.
Well, and Malcolm, where are we at with this idea of employee engagement or happiness or satisfaction, call it what you will, in an era of steady but not stellar job growth, Malcolm? How much does this matter?
Well, I think it's always mattered, but we've taken a lot of different paths to try and get there recently. We used to call it company loyalty, and we used to talk about, you know, the great leaders who would fire up their minions to go out and conquer the world. Well, that's translated now into a lot of sort of a shopping cart of things that employers have tried to give, perks that are sometimes very useful and reduce stress for the employee, and sometimes it's all just talk. And I think that all of these things recently got shuffled around. We talked a lot about employee satisfaction and engagement before we went into this incredible recession. And over the last 5 years, I think those things have played into companies' attempts to make one big happy family. But family is really the key. I think that, you know, at least in our research and the work that we've been doing, it looks like what happens at home has a very powerful effect on what happens at work, and what happens at work has a very powerful effect on what happens
at home. You can't
separate
the two.
Yeah.
You know, just picking up on what you said, Malcolm, and I'm glad you said, you know, since the recession, because the series is How We Work 5 Years Later. Was there a shift, Malcolm, you know, say the mid-2000s to, and then we got hit by the recession, was there a shift in terms of how companies thought about this idea of employee engagement or employee satisfaction? I mean, during the recession, was there a point where everybody said, worker and employer alike, look, I'm just happy to have a job, never mind anything else?
Yeah. And so flexibility, which had been touted as part of corporate culture, became a cheap selling card to keep employees when they couldn't get the things that they really wanted, which were wage increases and some sort of security over the long run. And we've seen those two things have really been threatened over the course of the recession and are still being threatened in New Hampshire and across the country. So people are afraid to lose their jobs. And I think more and more people are staying in jobs that they aren't necessarily happy in.
Still.
Because of the economy. Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to go all over the place, Laura, but one other thing we have to think about here in New Hampshire is we have a growing poverty rate among our kids. And that means that there is are a number of workers who have been really alienated and isolated from all these wonderful sort of gimmicks during this last period.
Well, and Erica, I love your thoughts, too. What do you think? I mean, are people these days, businesses especially, that you work with, are they saying engagement's nice but not necessary, or are they really looking at this?
They are, and they're taking a slightly different approach than Malcolm because they're not looking at the people that are maybe in these jobs that are hourly jobs and they're struggling. We're looking at the best companies and what they're doing. And what those best companies are saying is, we like our employees and we want to keep them and what really matters to them at their core. So they're less saying, we're going to give you lots of free snacks. But what we're seeing a trend this year is we're going to really amp up our 401k matches because we want you to think about your future. Or we know you want to be healthy, so we're going to give you extra time to work out at lunch and we're going to encourage you to be healthy because then you'll be more productive and you'll be happier. So they're looking very closely at what will keep their employees there and keep them happy as opposed to nice things they can give them because they're worried about losing people.
Yeah, so it's not about the snacks.
No, it's not.
And talk a little bit more about this concept of engagement, because from all the reading I did on this yesterday, you're right. Experts said it's not about the snacks. It's about making employees feel like their contributions matter. I'd love to hear what your companies that you talk to say about that.
The companies that are highlighted in our best companies to work for have a lot of ways of making employees feel like they matter. But one of the things we see a lot is there's a lot of committees at these companies, and it's not just a committee on how do you make your processes more efficient? It's even a committee on how do you dole out charity? You know, if a company has $10,000 a year to dole out, instead of taking an employee poll and then choosing someone, they have a committee of employees decide. If they're going to have fun events, they have a committee of employees decide. They want employees involved at all levels because they think if they're involved, they'll be more loyal and they'll be happier.
I want to invite our listeners to join us, and then I have a lot more questions for both of you. The number here in the exchange for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Today in the exchange, we're continuing our series, How We Work, 5 years later, by how we define employee engagement or employee satisfaction in today's workplace. We'd like to get your definitions in. How would you define this? And if you work for a place where you feel totally engaged, tell us what your bosses do to keep you feeling that way. If you're feeling somewhat disengaged at work these days, what could help change that? Again, our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange. That's all one word. The Boston Globe looked at this as well. They came out with their list, Erica, a little before you guys. Here's what they said. I'd love to read this to you and then tell me what you think. They say money can't buy happiness, but it seems like a big paycheck would go a long way toward making people like their jobs more. Not true, it turns out. Each year, Massachusetts workers rank being appreciated, feeling that they are part of something meaningful, and having confidence about the future among key factors that determine how they feel about their jobs. The least important, pay, benefits, and work-life balance. Wondering how you feel about that, Malcolm.
Well, I think it depends on who you're talking to,
you
know, and I was looking like you at the Gallup poll about satisfaction. And you see that satisfaction is fairly high among white collar workers and upper management. But what's happened, we've put such a strain on our middle class. Our middle class families are really suffering and they're suffering with intense pressures at home, with their children, with, you know, things like childcare in our state, or we have the same number of childcare slots we might have had 5 years ago. but we have fewer and fewer child care facilities. So
are we having fewer children, though? Isn't the
child
population
yes,
going
but
down?
It also means you have to drive further, and particularly for working class families, it becomes a huge strain just getting the kids arranged, you know. And so, yes, corporate culture has a lot to do, you know, in the climate and culture on your job. But we're seeing upticks in things like bullying at work. Things that fall through the cracks. We just did a study at UNH, and UNH is a preferred, you know, employer in the state. It's been recognized by the Sloan Award, and it's a very good place to work. But we just surveyed most of our operating staff and most of our professional and technical staff and some of our faculty, and we found out that we're running at about a 41% rate over the past 5 years of people having felt bullied or picked upon. This meanness that we're seeing in society is spilled certainly into the workplace in some forces and some companies. And I think it's what's happened is as resources have dwindled for middle class workers, people are staying in dissatisfying jobs longer. And then, you know, the culture is to peck at each other for job security. And I think we're seeing, you know, our state's mental health system is stressed because of this. Employee assistance programs are stressed. It's very hard to find psychiatric
help. So some of these things that would help workers feel a little bit better still aren't there, even though we're sort of 5 years out from this recession.
During the recession, we neglected our infrastructure for workers in the state. And infrastructure is not just highways. I mean, that is one thing. You know, our roads need help, but so does our child care system. So does the things that support families and communities.
You know, Erica, it's interesting what Malcolm says about productivity. And during the recession, you know, staffs were cut, meaning those folks left behind had to do more work with fewer people. I wonder how that affects employee engagement and the level of sort of tension at work.
Well, one of the things that we find, since we're covering really the best companies, so I want to be clear that the things I'm talking about that people are doing, often you're not finding it at all employees. You're finding it at these ones that are the best employers. There's a number of them, two or three of them, that during the recession probably could have let people go. They chose not to. They instead trained them or redeployed them. Some of them even have no layoff policies. Others were very good about saying, we're going to do planned furloughs, we're going to cut salaries, but of the upper management, not the lower folks. People, they make efforts to keep people, and that's something that makes people feel engaged because they feel valued.
And secure. All right, we'll talk a lot more after a short break. Stay with us.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio. It's 9:19. Good morning. Donate your vehicle to NHPR by December 31st, and you'll receive a $50 gas gift card. Give us a call. We'll take care of all the paperwork for you and pick up your car. Plus, you'll get a tax deduction and, for a limited time, a $50 gas gift card. Also, you're supporting your New Hampshire news service. Get things started by calling 1-877-393-NHPR or visit nhpr.org. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from InCap Group Captive Employee Insurance Solutions from Clark and Levy. Details about upcoming InCap presentations available at bestbenefits123.com. From Comcast Business, supporting New Hampshire Food Bank's collection of non-perishable food items at the New Hampshire for the Holidays Expo, December 7th and 8th, more at eventsnh.com. And Lelise in downtown Concord, featuring antiques and custom-made heirloom furniture handcrafted by the New Hampshire Department of Corrections. Lelise on Facebook. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we conclude our How We Work 5 Years Later series with a look at worker satisfaction or engagement in today's workplace. How do you define engagement in 2013? Does it mean perks such as gym memberships or good health care? Or is there something more? Join us 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange, all one word. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-6477. NHPR. You know, just before the break, we were talking about, again, the Boston Globe's take on this, that it's not so much the big paycheck. It's not even so much the benefits and the work-life balance. It's the idea that employees are engaged, again, that they're made to feel like this matters. Malcolm Smith, a little more from you and you too, Erica Cohen. Work-life balance, I think a lot of people would disagree with the Globe's conclusion there that being able to feel like they can work and have a life outside of work is really important.
Yes, as long as employees we find are able to make great sacrifices if they believe in what they're doing. And that's really important. You know, this is
the
part
engagement
of it.
Piece again.
Yeah, but, you know, and the way I like to frame it is how we used to frame it, which is company loyalty. You know, if you really believe in the product or at least in the workforce, the people that you work with, and you really, you know, have a driving, charismatic leader who is taking the company somewhere. And, you know, as we've given out the Sloan Awards over the past several years for excellence in business, that's what we find, that these are some of them young companies that have different ways of working together, but people are attracted there because, you know, a really good example, a couple of years ago, I visited a place called Badger Bomb here in the state.
In the western corner of the state,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and they make these, you know, great little, you know, but a very isolated market, you know, of lip balm and hand balm and things for cold weather. And they work together. They have created such a company loyalty that they call themselves a tribe. And their CEO cooks lunch for them. Babies come to work. Dogs come to work. And for a certain type of employee, that's really, really attractive.
And some people wouldn't like babies and dogs
right,
at work.
Right, right. But they keep them, and this tribe grows. And when they're in an all, you know, fairly isolated part of the state, but when they have a job opening, they're flooded. You know, because people want to work for this company.
And that's the culture, and people know that that's the culture.
And, you know, nationally, companies like Patagonia that have this driving sort of mission, you know, to protect the environment, to do great things. But, you know, there's the other companies, too. And one of the things we are looking at on the task force under
the Work-Family Task Force.
Yes, led by Representative Guile. We were looking at a lot of companies here in the state who don't even offer sick leave. And it's hard to have loyalty, you know, when you're not even allowed to take off work when your child's sick. And a lot of the construction industry, a lot of those industries don't have loyalty.
Loyalty, trust, Erica, it's a big deal. How do you build that? How do you create that?
Well, one of the interesting things about building loyalty and building trust is it's very specific to individual companies. So a perk that may seem, the way a company organizes that may seem really bad to us, those employees there think it's really nice. So one of the things I've discovered in covering the construction industry, which you've just mentioned, is that oftentimes they'll have 6 or 7 employees. They'll have very high pay but very few benefits, sometimes not even offering health care. Those employees aren't unhappy about that. Because a lot of them are single young men, they'd rather have the money and go get those things themselves. So one of the keys that in those companies that seem to work is that that employer is hearing what their employee wants. It's not really what seems like it would be a good perk. It's really matching what the employee needs with what the employer is able to offer. And something that may not seem like a boon to one person really is a boon to another.
Well, see, that's a really interesting point because there's probably 30 benefits that the three of us could just list off right now that sound nice or sound cool. But you're right, Erica. You know, some companies have benefits to keep people at the office more, you know, free food or, you know, gyms and so forth. Other people, yeah, I love my job, but I want to go. I want to go home. So there's sort of there's different people and different needs and different desires.
And I think where companies fall short is they don't recognize what their employees need. Mm. So if you offer, you know, an all company paid cafeteria that's subsidized, but you only give 30 minutes for lunch, you're missing a key group of people that would rather have an hour so they could go for a walk at lunch and work out and free their mind. But on the flip side, if you're a construction company and you offer this full insurance plan, but then you offer less pay, there's some guys out on the job that say, you know what, I'll figure the health insurance out myself. I just want more money to do whatever it is I want to do. And if you're not matching those two things, you could have the best perk in the world, but it just, it's not working.
It's not percolating, so to speak. Well, and then the tricky part is some companies, especially once you get larger, right, Malcolm? You've got some people with kids who want to just do the work and go home. You've got some people who maybe do want to take an hour to work out midday. I mean, it's mm-hmm. hard sometimes mm-hmm. to gauge what people really want, and you can't afford to do everything.
Well, you know, there's some simple solutions, too, that we've seen. A company that employs a lot of people here, I was thinking of Delta Dental. They did away with the idea of sick leave and vacation leave and just call it personal leave. So you don't have to justify if you have to, you know, go to your kid's ball game or what it is that you're doing. You just use your time off in the way that you see fit.
And, interesting.
And you know, and what Erica was saying, I think that's really important. The big companies who figured it out have a policy that if you can make an elevator speech about what you need to work there, that they can be flexible enough, you know, to accommodate someone who has childcare responsibilities or someone who has, you know, a grandparent that they're taking care of. And more those issues are affecting the effectiveness of our workforce.
The issue of taking care of senior citizens,
both
taking
ends.
Care of aging
yeah. Yeah.
mom
and
dad. And
the
so
tweeners
forth.
Who are stuck doing both, you
sure.
know.
Again, our phone number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page if you'd like. NHPR Exchange, all one word. How do you define employee satisfaction or employee engagement in today's workplace? What does it mean to you? How important are perks? What do you think of this idea of the perks don't matter that much? It's all about engagement. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-892-6477. Let's go to the phones, both of you. Diane's calling in from Concord. Hi, Diane. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling from New Hampshire Center for Nonprofits, and I love what you're talking about when you think about employment engagement, but also an element of corporate citizenship. And I think from the studies we've seen, there's a strong connection between employment retention and how employees are feeling when they can give back to their communities. And we see companies throughout the state of New Hampshire like Citizens Bank and Fidelity and Bellwether Credit Union and Hypertherm is an excellent example of employees being engaged but really giving back and working in nonprofit organizations. And this high-skill volunteerism comes right back to the company, and there's a strong benefit there.
So it creates a type of loyalty and a type of, yes, this is a good place that I believe in, Diane, and I want to stay here.
Exactly, exactly. And here at the center, we've even created a program with a corporate fund called High Impact Engagement Program. And what we're discovering is this program is designed to really enhance the volunteers' skills, but also they're bringing it back to their companies, and they're satisfied. They know they're making an impact in their communities, and it's a positive reward for our whole entire community.
I wonder, Diane, if you get involvement from, you know, I can hear, you know, the bank or the insurance company or whatever, but what about places like Dunkin' Donuts, you know, where workers, you know, they have to come in, they have to work their 8 hours, they're serving coffee, they're serving sandwiches. I mean, can Dunkin' Donuts really afford to pull those folks off and let them, you know, volunteer at the soup kitchen?
You know what? I definitely think that can be a challenge, but there are other ways that they could volunteer. They could go and serve on a board. They could do a project on their own time, letting employees know of different opportunities to volunteer through their community. Sometimes it can't be through a work schedule, especially if you're serving or a waitress, but there are so many opportunities that employers could make available for their employees.
Okay. Diane, thanks a lot for calling. Do you want to jump in there, Erica? Was this something that came up in the companies that you talk to?
Well, the issue of community service comes up in a lot of companies we talk to. One of the growing trends you see at companies of many sizes is giving charity time. It's something employers can give that doesn't cost them a lot, but gives them a lot back. Because sometimes charity time is you're volunteering on your school PTA or you're helping the Boy Scouts do a cleanup. It's something that involves your kids. Or sometimes charity time involves you're fixing up a house for Habitat for Humanities, but employees really appreciate that time to give back. And it's something that doesn't cost a company very much, but it's a really good thing for the company and the employer. So that's something that a lot of companies are doing. In fact, I would say 70 to 80% of the companies I talk to on a day-to-day basis have some kind of policy, either formal or informal, of letting employees take time to do that.
Wow, take work time to do that.
Yes.
Because some people, you know, they're already working hard enough. They don't want to have to do that on their own extra time.
It's usually not a lot. It often is just a company saying, you know, you're interested in this. You know, if you need to leave an hour early so you can do this, we hear companies saying, we're okay with that.
Yeah. What do you think, Malcolm? And then we'll move on.
I absolutely agree with what Diane was saying. Timberland is a really good example of a company here in the state who has traditionally given employees time to do that. Do that kind of work, and they find it really adds to their company loyalty. But when Diane represented the New Hampshire nonprofits, and I think it's really interesting that in nonprofit work, employees get paid less than their counterparts throughout the state. And, you know, we have an abundance of nonprofits in the state who are really suffering right now. But employee loyalty stays high because of their mission. And you know, that a lot of people choose to sacrifice money for doing good for others.
And that's the engagement issue.
Yeah,
then. They're really engaged and believe in that mission.
And the satisfaction is not as high as it could be because a lot of people who work for nonprofits are really struggling to stay ahead. But they have this great zeal for the mission of the
Thanks
nonprofit.
Again for that call, Diane. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page if you'd like. NHPR Exchange, all one word. I want to go now to Judy Statman. She's campaign coordinator for New Hampshire AFL-CIO, a federation of unions, including construction workers, firefighters, teachers. Judy Statman, good to have you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for inviting me to join your show today.
Well, how do your members define employee engagement or satisfaction?
I think that's a great question. And the first thing I want to say is that union pride is not just a slogan. When you talk with our members, the first thing that you notice is just a tremendous sense of pride in the quality of the work that they do. And in fact, we have over at the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard a group of workers that have formed a labor management collaboration where they put together a model program for employee engagement, for labor engagement that is really looked at as a national model today, where they have a standard of excellence. Everybody agrees to meet it, and they're of course extremely proud of the work that they do there on repairing the submarines that come in.
So, do you think unionized workers are more engaged and more satisfied, to keep using these terms interchangeably, Judy, than others?
Well, I think that there are some things that a collective bargaining agreement really helps to increase the satisfaction on the job, because some of the things that workers really feel dissatisfied about, their pay, their benefits, their health care, some of the things that come up as the factors that workers are least satisfied within their job, all of those things can be addressed through negotiations and a collective bargaining agreement. So at least there's a process to raise wages or negotiate health care benefits and for families particularly, I think that a lot of collective bargaining agreements cover things like paid sick days. They cover things like paid family and medical leave.
So those basics that help with engagement are there.
Yeah, all of those basics that sort of help, workers balance their lives outside of work are in place.
So how much does the other stuff matter, whether it's, free ice cream or yoga classes or climbing walls or something a little more substantial like the ability to work from home one day a week? How much does all that matter? Or is it, Judy, really just about, respect, good pay, good benefits?
I think that flexibility, some flexibility and some of those perks can be beneficial. But I think what really matters is the feeling that your work is valued, and that you're working in a team, and that you're doing work of quality that matters. To me, I think those are the things that really increase engagement and job satisfaction, and also that you're in an environment that's collaborative. You're working on a team, and it's not employees are working together to achieve a common goal, whether it's a product or a submarine or, what we do here, which is, work on issues that will improve the lives of working people in New Hampshire. So I think the perks are nice. I think sometimes they're more beneficial to employers because they tend to keep employees on site rather than having them go out and do their errands or go home. But I think what really matters is the sense that, your work is valued and that, you have the opportunities to do your best quality of work when you're on the job.
So given that many of your members sound pretty satisfied, pretty engaged, what concerns do they have these days? Again, given some of the job uncertainties out there nowadays.
Well, I mean, I think even union workers are seeing pressure to cut benefits, to cut pay, and that seems to be happening across the board. So we're very concerned, but we're concerned about all workers in New Hampshire. And I think what Mr. Smith said that you see lots of workers in New Hampshire now who are really they're falling out of the middle class because their wages are not adequate to support a family. They don't have benefits that help them balance work and family life. So we work not just for our own members, but for workers across the board in New Hampshire. And I think that, looking at things like raising the minimum wage, looking at things like ensuring that women have pay equality, all of these things are important for, raising up the quality of jobs for workers in New Hampshire, especially those who are, more in the middle class and working class categories.
Judy, thanks a lot for talking with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Judy Statman, campaign coordinator for New Hampshire AFL-CIO, a federation of unions including construction workers, firefighters, teachers, and many others. Again, the number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Malcolm Smith, did you want to follow up on something Judy said?
Yeah. A group that we haven't talked about today that's done a lot of research and study on this whole issue and to kind of a follow-up to what Judy said, what people want, is the Society for Human Resource Managers, SHRM, and they're very active in our state, and they're a wonderful group of human resource personnel that work on these issues together, and try to share great ideas. And they just completed a study that I think is very important. But when we look at sort of corporate culture, things that employees rank as the highest things that, these sort of perks we're talking about, that are intangibles beyond pay include recognition by management, the ability to have some autonomy and independence on their job, their relationship with their immediate supervisor can really make or break their satisfaction at work. And how does senior management communicate the mission of the organization to them? Do they have direct contact with senior managers who are firing them up? And I think if you look at the list of companies that are so great, you'll see that they do all of these things.
We'll talk more after a super short break, so stay with us.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio. It's 9:39. Good morning.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, public perceptions and political realities of the Kennedy era. Then, 50 years after the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, the investigation and its aftermath. All coming up on the Diane Rehm Show.
The Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 till noon on NHPR. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and support also comes to us from The Rooted Group, serving successful families and businesses with sophisticated planning and investment management for over 30 years at UBS Financial Services, member FINRA SIPC. And the League of New Hampshire Craftsman Retail Galleries in Concord, Hanover, Littleton, Meredith, Nashua, and North Conway. Information at nhcrafts.org. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup. Email us your thoughts on the news of the week before the program at exchange@nhpr.org or post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange, and then be sure to join us tomorrow morning live at 9. Today in The Exchange, we're continuing our series, How We Work 5 Years Later, with a look at what worker satisfaction or worker engagement means 5 years after the recession, how happier workers may affect economic growth in the state. We've been looking at that as well. Join us with your definition. How do you define worker engagement in the 2013 workplace? If you are very engaged at work, what is it that your workplace does to make you feel that way? If you're feeling a little disengaged from your job these days, what might help change that? Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange. And Erica Cohn, I want to also ask you something Malcolm said just before the break. Leadership. How important that is. A recent column by union leader columnist Christopher Thomas looked at this. He quoted a Forbes article called "I'm Outta Here, Why 2 Million Americans Quit Every Month." Pretty stunning, he said, given that, you know, job growth is sluggish. People are still quitting. The number one reason, Thomas said, ineffective leadership. People don't like their boss. He or she just isn't good at managing people. I was struck by that, Erica. 2 million Americans quitting every month. I mean, what does that mean?
Well, what it means is apparently there's a lot of bosses that are making employees feel so low and so unhappy that they feel like that's their only option. And it's something we talk a lot about at the magazine and when we write about things, because most people think of leadership as the person that runs the company. But for most employees, the person that they think as leadership is their immediate supervisor.
Right.
It could be someone that oversees 3 people. But if it oversees those 3 people with an iron fist, that department is completely unfunctional most of the time. So one of the things we find some really innovative companies do is they recognize that employee development and recognizing that employees have a voice and how they're participating in a group matters. They're regularly training not just upper management, but supervisors and team leaders to make sure they're engaging employees and listening to the people below them. They're also making sure that they have leadership development things in kind of lined up so that if you want to be the next leader, you can be that, but also that they have those leaders lined up so that if they need a leader, it's not just, we need a leader, so, you know, Mr. Smith has been here a long time and he has enough years, to make sure that you're qualified to be a leader.
Because sometimes people who are really good at doing what they do don't necessarily want to be in management.
Or they're not very good at it.
Well, yeah, the flip side of this,
they've never gotten any training.
I mean, the flip side of this, though, could be, again, 2 million people quitting every month, the number one reason, ineffective leadership. It could be a lot of poor managers, like Erica said. Or, Malcolm, it could be a lot of overly fussy employees who, you know, maybe want to be praised every time they walk into the break room.
Well, I don't
think there's 2 sides to every relationship.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't think that the American workforce right now is coddled. Really, I think we've been through a really rough time, and people are working. We work more hours in this country than most other countries, and we work harder, and we are productive, but productivity goes down under stress. And we've been, you know, there's been this mild stress at sometimes higher on the economy. But some other things have factored into this, Laura. The government shutdown for everybody who worked in the public sector. The bickering in Washington has created daily stress. You know, at the university, it's hard on us because funding sources are caught up in political disputes that we've never seen before. And it's, you know, that creates a lot of tension. People working in state government, people working in federal government are really torn in this huge division we have in the country right now. And it's creating a lot of stress.
Here's an email that came in from Curtis. He says, excellent program, reality for the dying middle class, fear of termination, cuts in pay and benefits. The employers know this. And in construction, we are openly told we are replaceable. Again, that's from Curtis. Curtis, thanks for the email. What do you think? That sounds kind of like a recession mindset, not necessarily post-recession.
It's happening, and it's happening regular, and the research is showing that. I mean, and when we're talking about at this union level or below, that people are saying, being told you're expendable, and you know what the job search is out there. So either, you know, do more with less or leave. And, you know, that's happening a lot more than people talk about.
Erica?
This is something that's very industry specific as well, though. There's certain industries where employees are always on their toes wondering, they can find someone better, so I need to be careful. And there's other industries that are struggling greatly. And one of the interesting effects of the recession that we found in talking to different businesses is one of the first people to go in the recession was that front office person, kind of the office admin, the person who may not be the family breadwinner, but really is helping keeping families afloat. Those were some of the first people to go in the recession. And as those jobs come back, when our office personally needed some admin assistant, there's a lot of competition for those admin jobs. But then you go to a totally different industry, the high tech industry. And if they put every ad out and call every high tech firm, they can't find enough qualified people. So
it kind of depends. The workforce is so varied. It kind of depends on where you are. You can't say every single worker is on edge.
Well, but they soon will be. And one of the reasons
What do you mean by that? They soon
will
be.
Well, I was talking to someone from TurboCam, great company in New Hampshire that builds technology. And they're really working people out of a job. You know, so much of what was manufacturing-level jobs are becoming computerized. But also at the higher engineer end, a lot of the work of mathematical engineers, technical engineers in the computer industry are now being taken over by computers themselves. And there's a lot of pressure out there.
Let's take another call if we could. Thanks for that email, by the way, Curtis. Tom is waiting in Peterborough. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Hi. Excuse me. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I'm the chair of the board of trustees for a local nonprofit, and one of the things that we did when I became chair just about a year ago is we started having a board member attend our monthly staff meetings, and we rotate that through our board. And what we noticed was there was a huge spike in terms of the level of morale for the staff. The staff has always been valued, and you know, we try to put their needs as front forward as we can. However, by doing that, the staff was then able to understand, see a face to, you know, the name of the board, and then also the board was able to hear directly from the staff, and it made a huge, huge difference.
So creating a connection between the people who work at the nonprofit, Tom, and the board of that nonprofit. It's not this amorphous, you know, Wizard of Oz behind the curtain board.
Right, exactly. And I think that there is, and you know, you had some earlier guests or callers that were talking about nonprofits. And, you know, we do not have the ability to offer tremendous benefits. I mean, no one gets into the line of work that we do to try to become a millionaire. It's because they're really dedicated. But as your guests have talked about, when your staff feels like they are being heard and they are valued and you do react to what they say, it has, you know, it makes a big difference. And we're fortunate because we have a very low attrition rate. We do keep the people that come on, but we've also noticed that a lot more people are calling to see how they can get involved with our organization. And we think it's because our staff is talking so much more about the experience they have.
Okay. Well, Tom, thanks a lot for calling. And quick thoughts from you, Malcolm, maybe?
Oh, I think Tom's absolutely right. But it's not just nonprofits.
It's for
profits, too, that, you know, when you have direct contact with the shareholders, with people that are at the top, it changes. It changes your view of the work you're doing.
And I was actually going to say it's not just shareholders. One thing you see, a lot of drug companies, there's a couple of big ones in this state that will bring in a patient who has used their drug, or BAE regularly brings in soldiers that have used their equipment because they know that those workers are more engaged when they see someone using the technology they're working on. That's something that's used by a lot by for-profits to say your work has a real purpose, and here's someone whose lives it's changed.
But we need more Steve Jobs in the world, you know, that can really rally the troops that, you know, and you look at the industries that are doing that. Google has charismatic leader, you know, places like that that really fire up the workers, that they're doing something meaningful to change the world. That's what we're lacking, I think, in a lot of the companies now.
Tom, thanks a lot for the call. You can call us, too, 1-800-892-6477. Post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange, all one word, or send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. A couple more emails I'd like to go through with you. Here's one from Linda, who says, I'm blessed to work at Concord Hospital, where I feel valued, able to get things done. I feel supported by senior leadership and have a great boss who is smart and engaged and listens and understands, Linda writes in capital letters. There's a culture of trust. My coworkers care about each other and what we do. We are all here to take care of our patients. Erica, there's that mission again. Very clear what they are supposed to do, and they're all in it together.
And that is critical to people being happy at work. We find that all the time. If you can't clearly define your mission and your employees can't relate to that mission, then they're just there for a paycheck. And that means that they're probably more short term.
Here's a question I have. You know, we've talked again about engagement, and we've talked about some big companies and UNH and Concord Hospital and so forth. Erica, to you first, is engagement just for certain types of jobs? You know, the shipyard workers, we heard from Judy on that. Linda at Concord Hospital, some of the tech companies that you guys interviewed for your best companies to work for last year. What about Dunkin' Donuts? What about, you know, the convenience mart down the street where you're basically just taking people's money for gas and serving coffee? I mean, does worker engagement matter for those companies as well?
Worker engagement matters for everybody. And I would say worker engagement comes down to trust. So there's things that companies of any size could do to engender trust in any type of employee. So, for instance, there's some large manufacturers in the state that have repeatedly won awards from us and that have been noted for this. They don't have time clocks. Yes, you're on a time clock. You're expected to be there, but they're not checking that you're there. By trusting you to do that, if you get there 2 minutes late or 10 minutes late because of a child conflict, they expect you to stay 10 minutes late. Similarly, there's a number of service businesses where people work, some of the hotels, where you may be a maid and your job is pretty hard physically, but they want to know from you, you know, is there a better way we could be setting up your cart so that you can be more efficient? There's little things you can do in any type of job to show that you want your input.
Yeah.
In some cases, that's being done now, and in some cases, there's room for improvement. But those are the kind of things that make people happy, that they get that input.
I remember working at McDonald's as a teenager, and I remember punching in, you know, the little card, and you stuck it in, and it was very stressful. I remember, you know, being a couple minutes late and going, it's right there, you know, in letters that I was late.
Well, and these companies are notorious for not doing that. A lot of the chains, a lot of those. And you see it as a customer, you know, when the employees aren't valued. When we were doing some research on working parents in New Hampshire, we visited a group of moms who are meeting up north who have a regular get-together to support each other. And we were talking about work-life satisfaction, and they were reporting, many of them worked for a certain chain, and they were reporting that their boss would, if they caught them talking on their cell phone, would come and take their cell phone away for the day.
Like,
and these were mothers who had, these were mothers who had, and they just didn't get it. And, you know, their attitude reflected to the customers, and that particular branch of the chain didn't make it, you know. And I think that's a good lesson. You know, that wonderful comment you got from Linda at the hospital, I just think that ought to be framed and put on every CEO's desk. You know, that's what you want to hear.
So as Erica said, or as you said too, Malcolm, engagement should be for everybody. But it seems like, Malcolm, you're saying it's really not.
No, I think that, you know, at these huge national chains, a lot of times that an employee becomes just another stock commodity. And it's not really, you know, about that. But it's also crucial that, as you said, Lauren, and I think we are in agreement on that, it's crucial who directly supervises you. At least has a positive attitude about you and your life, because if that isn't happening, your loyalty, your trust, and your buy-in to the company is gone.
You know, over the summer, Gallup studied this issue of engagement and did some real interesting research. And here's one thing that really stuck out at me, Erica. 70% of American workers told Gallup that they're really not that engaged. That's a lot of people. That means only a third of the workforce feels engaged. And yet, Gallup found engagement is linked to productivity, profitability, absenteeism, workplace injuries, turnover. I mean, you know, they estimate $500 billion a year are lost by these disengaged workers for some reason or another. What do you think? Is this exaggerated or is it that serious?
I don't think it's exaggerated, but I think they're getting a moment in time. Employers have to be so aware of what they're doing to appreciate employees, because if that survey was taken the day after some employee got chewed out because they were 10 minutes late because something happened with their kid or their mother had an emergency and they had to go somewhere, that's what they remembered when they took that survey. So the idea of showing the little appreciation, thanks for what you do, or you did a huge thing and no one shows appreciation, people remember the things that they don't do more than the things that an employer does do for them. So being on top of that respect and trust and niceness is so important, because all the things you don't do are remembered so heavily.
So here we are 5 years out from the recession. What do you think, Malcolm? Real short, if you could, please. Are we going to see engagement improve?
Not in the near future, I don't think, until we start to see some better movement in the economy and the workforce becomes competitive again. Right now, people are, like I said, staying in jobs even though they aren't that satisfied with them.
Well, and to relate back to what you just said, Erica, about the appreciation factor, here's an email from Pam, and we'll close on this, Pam in Guilford. She says, in my experience, feeling appreciated, especially by your boss, goes a long way to employee satisfaction. You cannot say thank you enough. Pam, thank you for that email. And both of you, thank you very much for being here. Malcolm Smith, it was really nice to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Laura. It's always a pleasure.
That's Malcolm Smith, Extension Professor in the Department of Education at UNH, also a member of a task force on work and family, and writes a column about this for NH Business Review. Erica Cohen, it was also good to see you, too. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Erica Cohen, Associate Editor for Business NH Magazine, which is about to come out with its 2013 Best Companies to Work For list. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producers are Ellen Grimm and Faith Mikesell. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. Our volunteers are Alan Cohen and John Barrett. The executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoy.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Kanoy, and tomorrow on The Exchange, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup. State lawmakers appear unlikely to reach a deal on Medicaid expansion after a two-week special session. The Business and Industry Association releases a strategic economic plan. A local coffee roaster scores a major victory against Starbucks. And Granite Staters observe the Kennedy assassination 50 years ago. Send us your thoughts by email, Facebook, and join us for The Exchange tomorrow morning live at 9 and again at 8 p.m. on NHPR.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio. It's 9:59. Good morning. The Diane Rehm Show is next at 10. Support for NHPR comes from UR members, and support also comes to us from St. Mary's Bank, the nation's first credit union, helping New Hampshire families and businesses grow and prosper for over 100 years. Online at stmarysbank.com. And Wentworth Douglas Hospital, supporting healthy communities in the seacoast of New Hampshire and southern Maine. WDHospital.com.
These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio.
WEVO Concord, 89.1.
WEVS Nassau, 88.3.
WEVH Hanover, 91.3.
WEVN Keene, 90.7.
WEVC Gorham, 107.1.
WEVJ Jackson, 99.5.
WEVF Colebrook, 90.3.
And WEVQ Littleton, 91.9.
And online at nhpr.org.
Good morning. It's 10 o'clock.
From WAMU and NPR in Washington, I'm Diane Rehm. 50 years after President Kennedy's death, three-quarters of Americans give him the highest approval rating of any post-war president. He is the most quoted president by other presidents. But public perceptions of Kennedy and his administration